today I want to share a message with you about the Father's heart and His desire for us to live in peaceful tranquility in His presence and not be anxious. I hope today that you'll be able to see the Father's heart through the scripture that we're going to be reading. I'd like to share from Matthew 6, 25, verse 34, and we'll get there in a second, but this is what I call my life scripture. And it's an enduring scripture that God gives you, and God works it into you at a deeper level through each season of your life. And my life scripture is about don't worry. Become a child again. Not becoming childish, but childlike. Having a trusting heart towards the Father. As far back as I can remember, I was always an anxious kid and fearful at times, and that did continue into adulthood. I was wired with an analytical mind where you can see 10 different outcomes and you can quickly get to the worst case in any circumstance. And there's a saying from Mark Twain that really resonated with me. He says this: I experienced a great deal of pain and suffering in my life. Most of it never happened. Most of what we're anxious and fearful about never eventuates. But if you're on that train, you suffer mentally through it. Worry and anxiety was a big problem for me until I hit what I call a divine brick wall. And I had to deal with it. I ended up in a very traumatic situation overseas where I was left for dead in a hospital, feeling abandoned, and I came back and developed post-traumatic stress disorder and went through a number of horrible years just surviving. We'll get into the scripture in a minute, but I must say, although God has done a big work in me, I can't do this perfectly. This is my journey of being free. But it's about getting your strike rate up so that you can end up getting 100% of the time doing what God says. And there's still times when I got anxious. I got a little bit anxious drinking paint thinners. But God was faithful through it. Now I have a testimony of the great physician. But, you know, maybe I'm anxious 30% of the time, but God is going to take me to where I'm not anxious at all. So we have an amazing Father, and He revealed to me His Father heart that we could have perfect peace, love and life consistently, not just periodically, not when things are easy, but when things are a struggle. And He doesn't want us to struggle. We are spiritual beings having a human experience here on the earth. And Jesus knows suffering. He knows what it's like. And we have a great comfort in Him. And so I discovered this by hitting the divine brick wall and being built again through this crucible. And He taught me to become a child again and to develop a trusting heart. So if you have your Bible, just open to Matthew 6, verse 25 to 34. I will have it up on the screen for you. But it's important, the context of this one. It's from the Sermon of the Mount, where Jesus was preaching to a very large crowd in rural northern Israel. The folks He was speaking to were poor, and they were likely rural farmers or families living off the land, and they did have struggles with even the basic things in life. So we'll start at verse 25 and 26. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you of not more value than they? Jesus says to us, let's look at creation. Something small and insignificant, like a sparrow. God feeds them, and daily they rely on Him for their food. God is in such control and into the details that he doesn't even forget even the smallest of his creation. God loves birds. He loves all his creation and he cares for them. And I love going to Macca's and into the car park, and you can see the sparrows eating the fries on the ground. And you can rejoice in that. God is feeding them through someone spilling their fries. But I also wonder how the bird might feel and if they feel defiled after eating Macca's as well. So, but David even marvelled about the sparrows in the temple and that God provided shelter for them in the holy sanctuary. But how much more are we worth being made in his image and purchased with the death of Jesus? A quote from Martin Luther, the father of Protestantism, he had this to say about birds while walking in the forest. He would take his hat off and bow to them and he'd say, "Good morning, theologians. You wake and sing, but I, old fool, know less than you and worry over everything instead of simply trusting in the Heavenly Father's care." We can learn a lot from birds. Verse 27, "And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan?" Jesus is asking us here, what's the point of being stressed, worried, or anxious? You can't change anything. It's not helpful at all. And it doesn't add anything to your life. We can't sort our own problems out. And generally, when we do, we make a meal of it. And we make it worse. So why even bother? We have to remember that Jesus is our Saviour, not just from hell, but from every circumstance that we need rescuing from. We were designed to do our problems with God, sitting on his lap in his loving embrace. We weren't designed to do our problems by ourselves. And he graciously loves to help us in the midst of our troubles, even if they're because of our own doing. He's a specialist in problems. And one thing that I discovered is the world's greatest psychologist. He made your brain. He made your character. And he knows every single thing about you. He knows and has an answer for every single problem, every single trauma we face in our lives. And the answers are usually surprisingly simple. Our worries and cares need to drive us towards God. Like a little child when they're scared, they run to the parent or they hold on to the father's hand tighter. But we got to get good at casting our cares upon the Lord. The word says in 1 Peter 5, "Cast your cares on the Lord, for he cares for you affectionately and cares over you watchfully." Cast, if you look up cast in Strong's, it means to absolutely throw it as far as you can. It doesn't mean just, "Here you go, Lord." It means throw it far away from you as possible so that you can't easily go and pick it up again, or at least you can catch yourself when you start to walk towards that problem again and you grab it and you give it to the Lord again. Verse 28 and verse 30. "And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" Here again, God points us to creation, something with a short lifespan, maybe 2 months. They're clothed so beautifully, yet they die out so quickly. Ever since God gave me this scripture, I have taken note to look at the fine detail of each flower. I grow sunflowers, I grow dahlias, and they're the most beautiful things you can see, right down to the intricate detail. But the flowers, they don't toil. They don't work hard. They don't spin for wool for their clothing. They don't work hard. They don't get a sweat up. They just simply pop up They do what's been programmed into the seed by God. They just pop up and be beautiful. Jesus says, we are worth much more than the flowers because we're made in his image and we're worth the blood of Jesus. But here it's also revealed that worry and anxiety are rooted in faith and what you believe when Jesus said, oh, you of little faith. My mentor always says to me, anytime you're anxious or fearful, it's because you believe a lie about the sovereignty of God. And worry is just a fruit of not trusting God in a particular area. You also only trust God to the level that you know his love for you. And I found it hard on the journey because I didn't know the fullness of his love. But the more I came to know him in an intimate and personal way, the more I've been able to know his love, because he is love. Love is not a thing. Love is a person. And the more I get to know him personally, the more I can trust him. So verse 31 to 32. Therefore, don't be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. We have to stop worrying, because that's what the fatherless do. We have a daddy. We have a father. Abba. When you became a Christian, it was part of the package that God takes care of you and all your needs. But I had to unlearn what the world taught me. The world teaches us to grow up and make your destiny, rely on self and be strong. But in God's kingdom, he teaches us the reverse. He teaches us to become a child again, with a trusting heart and vulnerably weak before him in reliance on him. God is saying to us here, be a child and let me be your parent. When we compare this to a natural family, what sort of father would you call me if I said to my kids, hey, go find your own food, get your own clothes, find your own accommodation, may have thought that once or twice. Go on, protect yourself. You would call it child neglect. You would ring the police on me. You really would. I'd lose my kids. Yet sometimes this is the way we act, the way that God is. And he doesn't neglect us. He's a wonderful father. But I was certainly acting like this. My actions were saying that I'm responsible and that I need to do this. But I thought God was a big stick God. I just thought he was waiting there to smack me over the head whenever I messed up my responsibilities. But God isn't like this. But the child isn't responsible for earthly provisions. That's the parent's job. What do these problems with earthly provisions have to do with the child? They don't have anything to do with the child. In God's kingdom, it's never your responsibility to take care of yourself. That's the Father's responsibility. We no longer have to take care of ourselves, and this is a liberating truth of being a child of God. If you think of your mother or father, your birth, it had nothing to do with you. What part did we play in our birth? We didn't play any part. Were we able to feed ourselves? Were we able to change our own nappies? No, we weren't. It's the same spiritually. When we were born again, it was God's responsibility to care for his children after we were birthed into our second birth, born again. But how awesome is God in verse 32? He knows what we need even before he asks it, before we ask it. He knows it well before we know it. And he knew it even before the earth was created, that at this point of time you needed something. So if he already knows it, what we need when it comes to our mind, why should we bother being worried? He's already gone before us in our need. It's like when you have young kids and they don't know what they need, but you as a parent know exactly what they need before they even know. And so it is with us. The Father knows what's best in our lives. I'd like to share a story about my son, Braden, when he was younger. He used to have problems wearing shoes out so quickly. Every probably 3 months, there's a new pair of shoes. And I used to swear that he'd run on a treadmill of sandpaper every day and just wear those soles out. But one day, walking home from school in the rain, he said to me, "Dad, I'm getting water coming through the soles of my shoes." He had a big hole right where his big toe was, and the rain was coming through. The water through the puddles was wetting his feet. I said to him, "I know, mate. I've been talking to Mum for the last 3 weeks about your shoes, saying that we need to take you to get some shoes." And surprisingly, this afternoon, Mum was actually going to take you to the shop to get you new shoes. We as parents, we went before him in his need, before he even knew that he had a problem. And the solution was right there as the problem manifested. And we'd organise to go and get it done. And so it is with God. He knows our needs before they even come to us. And he's already gone ahead to meet us in our need. Another story about Jocelyn, our youngest daughter. She had a scooter crash a couple of years ago and ruptured her spleen. And praise the Lord, no surgery was required. We were so blessed. But the doctor sternly charged us for 6 weeks, Jocelyn should do nothing strenuous, or it could rupture worse and you will then need surgery. Trying to get a child to not be active. The first week back, I caught her doing a cartwheel. Next day, I caught her jumping up and down on the bed and the couch. And even though we explained to her not to do it and why, she didn't care. Her health was our responsibility as parents. And she just trusted us that we knew what we were doing. And she just went on being a child, doing what children do. Verse 33. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." This is a very deep spiritual principle. When you focus on the greater, it includes the lesser. But when you focus on the lesser, it does not include the greater. God says to seek first his kingdom and his ways of doing and being right. Seek them first. Forget yourself, all the transactional things you need to do. All these things on the earth are our responsibilities, because God will take care of you and all those things will be added to you. It doesn't make sense in the natural one bit, but when you seek first the Lord and put your relationship with him first, all these transactional things in life just seem to flow. They just seem to happen. And it's bliss. It's total bliss. As we are about his business, he is about ours. And the Master takes care of our needs as we serve him. Verse 34, we're coming into landing. "Therefore, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Jesus says, hey, focus on one day at a time. Like a child, Dad has it under control. We need to look and learn from our children and our grandchildren. They will teach us a lot. But when Jocelyn was like 3 or 4, she used to wake up and most of the time not know what day it was. She vaguely had some marker points. She had preschool on 2 days of the week and swimming lessons on one day. But each morning she would wake up with wonder and she'd go, "Dad, Mum, what's on today?" She wasn't concerned about what's on tomorrow, only today. And she knows that I've got the plan under my control, and I'll let her know when she needs to do something in advance. And likewise, it is with our Father. Just focus on what he is saying today. And he taught me to wake up and just be still and just listen to him and ask what he wants, because he's only ordained grace for one day, one day's problems at a time. That's all we're authorized to deal with. I love this quote from Corrie ten Boom, and she summarizes verse 34 in a very powerful way. Worrying is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength, carrying 2 days at once. It is moving in tomorrow ahead of time. Worry doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Worrying doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. That's really powerful. This is why the Lord says, don't worry, one day at a time. This is childlike faith, though. This is trusting God each day and only doing what he says. And the problem with worry is it compounds and it thinks the worst cases and it carries multiple days at once. And you have to take every day of it as it comes. You can't play the game in advance. A cricketer, for example, doesn't sit in the sheds and he doesn't plan out his first 50 shots. He doesn't do that. He plays at the split second that the ball is released from the bowler's hand. He has the skills to play whatever ball comes at him. But if he sits in the shed and premeditates what's coming, he's going to be out. So we have to not play the game in advance. And the key to overcoming worry and anxiety is to know him, his Father's love, and that he's madly in love with us. You trust God or anyone to that level, to the level that you know their love for you. And I shared a few weeks ago from John 17:3 that Jesus is authorized for us to have an intimate and personal two-way relationship with him. And he dearly wants us to live with him and know that he is love. But we have a tendency to look at God or the Father through the lens of our own earthly fathers. Your earthly father may have come across as distant, absent, absent but present, disinterested, even abusive. Even if you had a good earthly father, you may still be carrying father wounds, because they're imperfect, even if you had a good father. But our heavenly Father is perfect. And in Psalm 103, I encourage you to meditate on that if you have a father wound. But he is gentle, merciful, patient, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy and loving kindness. He earnestly remembers and imprints on his heart that we're just made of dust. That's really comforting. But I want to share with you that God is also your mum. It's a bit interesting. We refer to him as he, but God embodies both the male and female traits that he's put in each of us. Yes, the Bible says he's strong and mighty, and in Exodus, the God of war, or the man of war. But these are the male traits. But God also has the female traits, characteristics, the nurturer, that desire to be affectionate towards us. He just wants to give us a big hug and sit on his lap like children. It's like, June or Christina Jones, they're some of the most amazing representations of God's character bound up in a woman, that nurturer's heart, that just the care and that desire. I gave June a hug this morning, just needed that mother hug, but God embodies those as well. And you can particularly see this in the person of the Holy Spirit, the comforter and consoler. And you can definitely see it in Jesus when his disciples were resting their head on his chest. So I'm coming in for landing here, but I hope today's message has encouraged you that we have an amazing Father. He wants us to become children again. And I believe God is wanting to brood over each of us here today. Perhaps you need to rebond with the Father. Or perhaps you just need a fresh flow of His love, a reminder of His love. We just need to humble ourselves and surrender and sit up on His lap and feel His holy emotions starting to flow over us. God is always willing to give us a fresh start, to feel His love afresh and new when we need it.